Tuesday, September 3rd. And in a few minutes, we'll get to our favorite baseball plays on a slate of games that we hope to pick some winners for you, because baseball season is still happening. And I understand the big beef on social media and in the sports world. Yesterday was Dabo Swinney and Brian Kelly. But, Jenks, we had all kinds of drama in the major leagues last night. And I understand it was later, if you go to bed early. But we had two instances. Rafi Devers v. Kyle Freeland. After Rafi Devers stared Kyle Freeland down, or at least he stared down his home run ball, and he was admiring it. He was watching it sail over the fence. And listen, Kyle Freeland did not appreciate that. And I do know this is one of the like unwritten rules of baseball, is that you don't pimp a home run, like especially in a regular season game, and especially the first inning of the game. This was the craziest part. There was this huge fight afterwards that ended in like both sides getting players ejected. Because essentially, Rafi Devers and Kyle Freeland were like screaming at each other to the point where Rafi Devers didn't even round the bases for like 15 minutes. I even had to check the box score. I was like, did they even count this home run? Because I'm not sure if he even went around the base pass. But then the other drama was on the same team, which always makes drama a little bit juicier. Because in the Astros game, Framber Valdez gave up a grand slam to Trent Grisham. And he was not super thrilled about that. And apparently there was some mix-up on what pitch he was supposed to throw. And then the next pitch, he threw a pitch that the catcher looked like he was prepared for a curveball. He was setting up on one side. And then Framber Valdez threw a pitch to the other side, and it hit the catcher. So I know this is kind of in the weeds, but it's called getting crossed up. Yeah. And it's not very nice when pitchers do this to catchers. And so people were speculating that there was some type of animosity between Framber Valdez and the catcher for the Astros, to the point where he did this on purpose. Now, here's the tough part, because I am not a huge fan of speculating, because after this game, nobody admitted to this. The catcher said, no, it was a pitchcom miscommunication. It was just really loud, a bunch of Yankees fans there. Framber Valdez did not admit to it. But if you look at their facial expressions, it does feel like something happened. So, again, I'm not a huge fan of speculating, but there was some drama there, I think. But I do respect the Astros for handling this in-house and not allowing like the public to get involved. But, ooh, boy, all kinds of drama last night in the majors.
It's Astro on Astro crime. You hate to see it.
Yeah, there was definitely something going on. I mean, this is, again, yeah, speculation, but if you look at the reactions, it wasn't like, whoa, that sucked, or miscommunication. It was, dude, like the Astros catcher looking at Valdez like, what are you doing? Like, come on, man. Like, to me, that's what got me. Like, whatever's going on here, I'm not quite sure what it is, but it sure looks like this was intentional. So you're not wrong there. And the Devers thing was crazy, because, again, he got about two steps past first base and it was like, all right, let's go. I think that's what he was yelling at Kyle Freeland. Let's effing go.
I think the craziest part is that usually it takes a while for like tensions to mount throughout a game, where it's like in the sixth or seventh inning.
Yeah.
Like, this was at the first of the game. Like, it's wild to me that Kyle Freeland, like, they had to get another pitcher to start warming up because Kyle Freeland got ejected from the game. So I don't know. I think the simple answer is, hey, Kyle Freeland, maybe stop giving up tape measure home runs if you don't want guys sitting there and admiring balls as they go over the fence. But Rafi Devers, I think he needed a little fire. Because remember, like, some of the, like, I don't want to say, like, narratives, but, like, people were kind of pointing fingers at him back when he was in Boston saying, okay, he's, I don't know. Like, the attitude's not there. And, like, maybe there's some apathy. And maybe he was just over it, because the Red Sox did ask him to change positions, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
But it's good to see the fire back for Rafi Devers, because in there somewhere is a very good player.
Well, I think for me, I'm just happy for Rockies fans. That was probably the most exciting moment of that game. You know what I mean? You knew you were going to get a loss. You're like, oh, my God. Did you see that fight that broke out? Did you see Freeland and Devers? I was there, man. I was there. Got some cheap seats, and then I was able to walk down to, like, the first row because no one was there. I got to see it live. So good for the Rockies and the Rockies fans, because they've had nothing to cheer about this season. Also, I don't get nearly as fired up as a lot of people do when batters admire their home runs. Like, I get it, I understand, unwritten rule, all that, but sometimes I feel some of that, or a lot of that, is overblown.
Well, I do think that's going to die out with the next generation, because, Jenks, I've told you stories about, like, the youth baseball circuit. Oh, right. My goodness. They're doing TikTok dances rounding second base. So,
God bless.
If you like the respect and the unwritten rules of baseball, just wait about 10 years, and I feel like they will be out the window, and most people will be making social media content as they, you know, bat flip their bat like 10 yards away. So, I don't know if I'm ready for that either. All right, let's turn our attention to the Daily Baseball Slate. And listen, if you're betting on baseball anyway, you might as well do it over at BetMGM with the MLB Parlay Token. Swing big on your next MLB Parlay. Use this Parlay Boost Token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits over at BetMGM. Just click opt-in and you'll be opted in. All right, so we have some daytime baseball. Several games start before the sun sets, which is always a great thing if you want to get on the action early. We have the Marlins Nationals. We have Mets Tigers. We have Rangers Diamondbacks and Orioles Padres, all for the daytime slate. So, Jenks, will you be getting the betting early, going early today? Are you betting on any of these first four games?
Well, I was... How convinced do I sound? Not convinced at all. Yeah, I like the Rangers Diamondbacks over. I was maybe looking at the Marlins just because I like the price fading the Nats. By the way, did you see the picture? Like, I mean, it's been this way for a while. Like that Zoom shot that kind of made the rounds yesterday of Nats Park, like the actual crowd. There might have been like 17 people in attendance.
Empty. Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah. Close friend of mine was right behind the catcher. So I guess we... A mutual friend of ours, I was in bed, was watching the game and was taking screen captures of the TV, and our buddy is right behind home plate, like chugging a beer, cheering, just going nuts because no one was there. So those screen captures are hilarious. I mean, there's just no one at Nats Park. And also, it's been a bad year for Mitchell Parker. 7-15, a 5.94 ERA. Yuri Perez got hit around last time out, but I think the Marlins at -150, you could probably find it a little bit cheaper if you look around. I don't mind. But the game that I am going to be on, I think, is Rangers D-backs over 9, maybe over 8.5 if you want to. I don't know why I'm like this, but is there ever a player, like I'm talking about Jack Leiter here, going for the Rangers against Zach Gallen. I don't know why I have such an aversion to Jack Leiter, because he's been really good. 2 runs or less in 7 of his last 8. Faced the Diamondbacks on August 12th. 1 run over 5 innings. And yet when I see his name, I'm like, oh, I got to fade him. I don't know why that is. But on the road, I will say this. 3-5, 4.61 ERA. Zach Gallen at home this year. 3-7 ERA over 5. I know the Diamondbacks were sellers at the deadline, but they are still a top 5 team in OPS and slugging. Arizona is an over team when playing Chase Field. I'd go over here.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to go. Like, if you don't want to necessarily fade Jack Leiter, like, you play an over and say, okay, he's going to give up at least a couple of runs. And I will say this about the Diamondbacks. I know it has been a season to forget because of a lot of injuries that they've had, but their lineup is still really good. Like, they have several guys in that lineup that are hitting close to 290. So they are a scrappy team when it comes to scoring runs. When it comes to over-under, though, it's just difficult to peg any of these trends down just because it's pretty much even across the board. Like, their over-under record this year is 68, 66, and 6. So, like, there's nothing that really jumps off the page there. But they are a good hitting lineup. The Rangers are tricky because it's difficult to justify an over with some of their season-long numbers because they have not been a great hitting offense. But during this recent stretch, it has been over central. It should be noted that some of those games were against the A's, who are pretty much an over machine. So I don't know. I think there's too many factors pointing in the wrong directions for me. So I won't be betting on that one, but... Let me ask you about this one, because the Mets have been one of the hotter teams, it feels like. And Clay Holmes going for New York today, 11-6, 3.60 ERA. The Tigers have been scuffling a bit, 4-7 over their last 11 games, and they're underdogs here at home. Casey Mize gets the ball, 12-5, 3.95 ERA. I was looking at the offensive numbers for the Tigers, and I understand they're one of the best teams in the American League, but over the last month, they've been extremely middling, like 14th or worse in most statistical categories. Meanwhile, the Mets have the second best batting average in baseball over the last month. So if you're wondering why the Mets are favored on the road, because I understand they have not been a great road team, that's probably why. But Jenks, now the question is, would you want to play the Mets?
I don't know if I'm going to play them here. Got me a dub last night, so I'll definitely take that. That was an easy winner for you as well. But I think it's a good price on the Mets here. I still get a little worried about the Tigers because they certainly have the potential to pull off an upset, and anytime you can get the Tigers at plus money, it's not a bad bet. But just the way that the Mets are swinging the bats right now, with the way that they've been hitting over the past month, they've kind of gotten away, at least recently, from, you know, that idea that they only hit and only play well at home. I mean, they've been dominating this series, and they were great last night, so I don't mind the Mets at minus 125 at all.
All right, let me ask you about this one, because this was my first impression, Rose, of the day. The Blue Jays on the road at the Reds. Shane Bieber toes the mound for Toronto, and he has not had many games since coming back from the injured list, but both those games have been really good. But the sabotage factor for the Blue Jays is that Jose Berrios only went like 2 2/3 yesterday. They had to use a ton of their bullpen. So I do think if you play the Blue Jays today, maybe only play them in the first five. But I do think Shane Bieber gives them a huge advantage, at least when he's in the game. They're minus 160 on the money line for the full game. I'm trying to check and see what their first five price is. And it is minus 170. Great. Oof. That is a little too high for my liking. So you could play them on the run line, or once they release some of these pitcher props, because BetMGM's kind of behind the curve on some of these pitcher props. Maybe somebody has it available, but I would bank on this. I think Shane Bieber continues to roll. You've got to remember, he is a Cy Young winner. He has great stuff. And I do think he continues to roll here. But the Blue Jays, minus 170 in the first five. Yeah. Did you look at this game at all, Jenks?
I did, but that's exactly the problem I had, which is, okay, I like this, but it's just not, it's just too expensive. Like, we got the Dodgers yesterday. By the way, we lucked out with the Dodgers yesterday in the first five because they were down early on, and they managed to tie that up, and we got a push. But at minus 162 with Clayton Kershaw, that's different going up against the Pirates here. Zach Littell has actually been pretty good this season. I mean, 9-8, 3.63 ERA. So if there were more of a pitching mismatch, then I might be willing to look at, you know, maybe stretching it out in the first five. But I also feel like that the only way to play this is first five run line, and I don't really feel comfortable with that because I think Littell has been that good, and this could be really close. So I'm probably going to pass on this one.
Yeah. Well, if you don't love that one, there are other options on the board today. We do have some good games, Braves and Cubs. This was one of those that I saw, and since, the line has skyrocketed. So last night it was minus 140. I think it's all the way up to minus 157 now at some shops. Cade Horton gets the ball for Chicago. Bryce Elder, who I will say was good last time around against the Phillies, but overall in the season, 5-9 with a 5.85 ERA. Jenks, can I interest you in the Cubs?
You can. I am going to bet on the Cubs today. I just have to look around. I got it this morning at minus 140, so I know by the end of the show it's going to be ridiculous, which is sometimes why I'll lay the juice on this show. A, you need to have some plus money, obviously, but then B, it's like, well, I got it this morning, but now I can't play all of a sudden because it's 3 hours later. So yeah, it has skyrocketed. I'm seeing minus 159 right now. I'm going to look around, but I just, look, I think this should be higher. This is a big pitching mismatch, and the Cubs have just been absolutely incredible at Wrigley this season. 43-25 overall at home. So, yeah, it's going to go up. That's okay. I'll look to the first five as well. That's going to be even more expensive because I think it's a good spot to fade Bryce Elder. Like, he's been pretty good, but also if you look at who he's been pitching well against, not some great hitting teams. White Sox, Giants, Rangers, Rockies, Cubs are just a different level here. Top 10 in OPS, top 10 in slugging against right-handed pitchers. So I'm going to find a way to play the Cubs.
Find a way, Jinx.
Yeah.
I think that BetMGM might still have a minus 140. Yeah, they
do. That.
So based on that alone, the fact that MGM has it at minus 140 and other places, it's minus 157. If you do like the Cubs, you should probably bet on them now before MGM hears this segment. It's like, maybe we should change that line a little bit. Because the bottom line for me is you have the better starting pitcher with the larger sample size. You have the better offense. You have the better team at home. And the overall, just better team. So the Cubs at a solid price there. I do like that. All right, next up, let's go to this game that I don't think I'm going to be betting on, but I think it's going to be like the game to watch. The Phillies and the Brewers, if you are interested in just watching good baseball, I think that's going to be a good one. Can Aaron Nola put together a good start? He's 3-7 this year, but he has battled some injuries. Coming up next, it's a Wednesday, which means it's time to whine about things. We get paid to complain next on the Daily Tiff, presented by BetMGM.